into 2 Kings, but let's see, before we look at today's lesson, I got tripped up a little bit last week, and I have to thank Brother John for helping me get my bearings on something I said regarding the sons of Ahab. And if you'll turn back to, or it's, we're in 2 Kings, so 2 Kings chapter 1, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 17, and I misinterpreted one little thing here, and it completely threw me. But anyhow, in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 17, and sons of Ahab, for the most part, we've been focusing in our study on pretty much the northern kingdom and the rulers, and also the prophets, the major prophets that spoke to the northern kingdom of Elijah and Elisha. And today's today's story, or today's scripture we'll be looking at is a story mainly about Elisha. But anyhow, back to 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 17. So Azaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, because he had no son. And that would be speaking of Azaziah. Azaziah had no son, and usually the way these the kingship was passed from father to son, but Azaziah had no son. Jehoram, which was a son of Ahab, became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. So I think I have that right now, John, right? Okay, so what we had there is when Azaziah died, he had no son, no heir to take over the kingship. So the heir then became the second son, or whatever order it was. It became the other son of King Ahab. So I hope that brings a little clarity to what I said last week. So anyhow, with that background, the prophet Elijah is now gone, and we're now dealing with the prophet Elisha, who was the successor, the heir to Elijah. And today's lesson is in 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's an interesting read. There's a couple very practical things that we can get out of this lesson, and we'll try to pull those out. Okay, so if you'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she constrained him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, that he turned in there to eat some food. So here's the first very practical lesson we can get from the scripture today. And you'll see in that first verse there that anytime Elisha passed by, he felt free to stop and have a meal. The woman was very hospitable. She provided a meal for this traveling prophet anytime that he was in the area. And again, it's a good application. We have a lot of full-time workers that pass through. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but I know there's a lot of times when the full-time workers are invited into homes, fed a meal, and it's certainly an honorable thing to do, and it's something the Lord would expect. also to provide for those that are in full-time ministry. And, you know, for you young people, you don't have to feel like you have to have a nice place to host people and things like that. You know, a meal, even if you would take one of these full-time workers out for a meal to a restaurant, that would certainly be acceptable too. So again, I think it's a very practical application here. And, you know, it's clear that Elisha felt welcomed at this woman's home and felt that he could stop by there for a meal when he was in the area. Now, she takes it a little bit farther in verse 9, and she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." In verse 11, "And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there." So this woman took it even a little bit farther than providing a meal. She provided a place for him to stay. Now, you know, not many people have the ability to provide it sounds like this room was dedicated to for Elisha's use. Not everybody has a room that they can dedicate in their home to a traveling person. But I think you get the point. You know, they made the effort not only to provide for a meal for Elisha, but they also provided for him a place to stay. So again, another very, very commendable thing. When the Lord's people open up their homes to other believers, particularly those that are serving the Lord on a full-time basis. Now, this whole story, it's interesting how the husband is portrayed in this whole thing. You know, he seems to be, I don't know, we'll read the rest of this chapter. He seems to be cooperative, but not particularly engaged. And I'll bring this out in a couple things. And, you know, back to the first verse, verse 8, there was a notable woman. You know, what made her a notable woman? You know, perhaps her husband was, he was a wealthy man, you know, which would have given her some notoriety, but we don't know all these things. But again, as we go through here, just kind of notice her husband is cooperative, but disengaged in many respects. So I've already said a few things this morning, and I'll open it up to any brother that might have a comment about anything I've said so far. All right, I don't see any comments, so why don't we continue? let's see, we're at verse 12, and this is Elisha speaking. And he said to him, "Say now to her," I'm sorry, to verse 12, "Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us, and with all this care, what can I do for you?" So Elisha was grateful for everything this woman had done for him, so he was looking to return the kindness in some way. "What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." So she seemed to be very content in her whatever her lot in life was. You know, she didn't want to be introduced to the kings and the high people in the land. She was very content. Verse 14, "So he said, when this is to be done for her, and Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So there's a need. They're getting old, and there's no son in the family. And verse 15, and he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. So Elisha makes this prophesies that in a year she will have a son. Certainly nothing that Elisha personally could do. If this is through entreating the Lord to bless this woman with a son. And the Lord is happy to do that. We'll read verse 17. And the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. So a year later, according to the prophecy Elisha made, a son is born to the Shunammite woman. So again, as her faithfulness is rewarded, the son is born to the family. Now, the rest of the chapter deals with the son, and we'll just continue reading. Verse 18, so the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. So we don't know exactly how old this boy is, but he's gone out to the field to be with his father and those working out there. And he has some type of an episode out there. And he goes to his father and says, you know, his head is hurting. It's an interesting reaction from the father. Rather than him taking the son back to the mother directly, his instruction is to a servant, carry him to his mother. I don't know, probably not the reaction most of us fathers would have had in that situation, but anyhow, the lad is carried back to his mother by the servant. Verse 20, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. So we aren't told what happens to the little boy there, you know, whether he suffered some kind of a heat stroke or whatever, but he was brought back to his mother, was sitting on his lap, and by noontime he died. Verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. Again, an interesting reaction between the mother and the father. She doesn't tell him that the son has died. She just goes and requests that she be provided with a donkey so she can go see the man of God. His reaction, verse 23, so he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. So he's saying, you know, what is this? Why are you going to see him today? This is not some kind of a religious day or a feast day. You know, why are you going? And she just responds to him, and she said, it is well. So, you know, this is just what I want to do. No particular reason, I guess, and just let me go. Verse 24, then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. As she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, there is the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Again, another very curious reaction on her part. He asked specifically, how's it going with you, your husband, and the child? And she said, oh, it's well, which of course is not the case. She's there because the son has died. Verse 27, now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to her, near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is deeply in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So Elisha can see that there's something really troubling the woman. His servant there is trying to kind of keep her away, but Elisha says, let her come to me. Verse 28, and she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? So she gives some indication of why she's there. There's obviously some problem with the son. Verse 29, then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. So interesting instructions there to Gehazi. You know, he's to go and lay this staff on the child. He's not to get caught up in any kind of niceties if someone greets him, and he's not to tarry, and he's just to get on about the business of going to the son. Verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. So we have Elisha and the mother going together. And Gehazi is ahead of them in verse 31. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Then he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. So Gehazi does what he's told, and there's no positive reaction to the laying on of the staff on the child. Verse 32, and when Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And you will remember we talked at some length about what a man of prayer that Elijah was. So here we have the protege, the one who's taken over the mantle, and we see that he was also a man of prayer. So he sees there's a desperate situation in front of him, and he prays to the Lord. Verse 34, and he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and went up again and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. And then she picked up her son and went out. So we see Elisha brings this boy who was dead back to life. And certainly this is a picture of the gospel. Speaking to all of us, we were all dead at one point, and then we came, and the description is interesting there. We came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were risen from our dead state and are now children of God. And again, verse 34, and he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And that's the way, you know, the Lord reaches out to touch each one of us, you know, in a very personal way. to bring us to him. Now, if this story looks or sounds familiar to something we've already studied, it's reminiscent of the story we looked at with Elijah back in 1 Kings 17. Let's go back there just for a minute. 1 Kings 17. Now, we will remember the story here. I'll refresh your memory that Elijah, the prophet, was living with the woman and her son. She was providing food for them, and the son became sick. Verse 17, now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him up to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. So, you know, it's certainly almost the same story repeated over again. We have these two prophets that both went to the Lord, prayed that these sons would be brought back to life. And again, a picture of the gospel of how the Lord has taken each one of us dead in our sins and has brought us each back to life. So that's all I had intended to cover today. Are there any brothers have any comments before we move on? Craig. I guess very good observation and illustration. Thank you, Craig. Are there other comments, George?
Yeah, I think that the verse 8 where you began, one version says that there was a great woman, and there have been a lot of great women in Israel, and of course. only come, so she must have really, really been an outstanding lady. And we see that in her action.
Okay, thank you. Are there other thoughts? All right. Thank you for your participation, and we'll turn the meeting back over to John for a couple hands, and then hear from our brother Daniel in a few minutes.